WVW Broadcast Network is pleased to present the Pry Report with Dr. Peter Vincent Pry. Dr. Pry was an intelligence officer with the Central Intelligence Agency and was responsible for analyzing Soviet and Russian nuclear strategy, operational plans, military doctrine, threat perceptions, and developing U.S. paradigms for strategic warning. Dr. Pry is Executive Director of the Task Force on National and Homeland Security, a congressional advisory board dedicated to achieving protection of the United States from electromagnetic pulse, cyber warfare, mass destruction terrorism, and other threats to civilian critical infrastructures. Dr. Pry has also served on the staffs of several congressional commissions. Due to his expertise, he's been a guest on numerous national and international radio and television programs, such as Life, Liberty, and Levin, with host Mark Levin on the Fox News Channel, Lou Dobbs Tonight on Fox Business, and the BBC made his book War Scare into a two-hour TV documentary, and his book Electric Armageddon was the basis for a TV documentary by National Geographic. Dr. Pry has written numerous books on national security that include Blackout Wars, Apocalypse Unknown, Electric Armageddon, and War Scare, Russia and America on the Nuclear Brink. And now, here is your host, Dr. Peter Pry.
Welcome to the Pry Report, where we deal with national security issues that you're not going to hear about in the mainstream media, and certainly not to the depth that we will explore here. I want to talk to you today about electromagnetic pulse, and particularly what I call the EMP Manhattan Project. Let me give you some background on what the original Manhattan Project was all about. It happened during World War II. President Franklin Roosevelt's World War II Manhattan Project lasted from 1942 to 1945, just 3 years, and it was a crash emergency program to develop the atomic bomb before Nazi Germany could confront Western civilization with an unanswerable existential threat. Imagine Nazi Germany getting the atomic bomb before the United States. That was considered a real possibility in World War II. Albert Einstein had warned Roosevelt about this possibility, and it's what prompted the president to launch the Manhattan Project to beat the Nazis to the bomb. Miraculously, in merely 3 years, the Manhattan Project organized an army of scientists and engineers. The Manhattan Project built nuclear industrial facilities and entire cities that never before existed. The Manhattan Project achieved the seemingly impossible feat of translating arcane and problematical scientific theories into the reality of revolutionary new weapons that ended World War II and prevented the Cold War from becoming World War III. At the beginning of the Manhattan Project, the possibility of an atomic bomb was just a gleam in Albert Einstein's eye. Nobody even knew if it was possible. And in just 3 years, the Manhattan Project made it a reality. And as I noted here, you know, enabled us to win World War II and prevented the Cold War from becoming World War III. Today, the United States and the world faces another existential threat from an electromagnetic pulse, or EMP, that can be caused by nature or man and topple the technological pillars of modern electronic civilization. Nature can cause an EMP, the sun can cause an EMP, by a solar flare that strikes the Earth's magnetosphere, causing a geomagnetic superstorm like the 1859 Carrington event. We weren't an electronic civilization in 1859, but there were telegraph systems all over the world, in every continent except Antarctica. And all over the world, those telegraph systems were destroyed, failed. Forest fires broke out from telegraph lines bursting into flame because of the power of the electromagnetic pulse from the sun that happened in 1859. There was a lesser geomagnetic superstorm in 1921 called the 1921 Railroad Storm, and it destroyed electronics all across North America that were associated with the railroad electronics. We still weren't an electronic civilization. Electrification of North America didn't really begin in earnest until the Roosevelt administration in the 1930s. And scientists estimate that if something like that were to happen today, a Carrington event were to happen today, or a 1921 railroad storm, which was much less powerful than the Carrington event, you know, it could doom our electronic civilization. And man can make an electromagnetic pulse by means of a nuclear weapon detonated at high altitude that can also destroy electric grids and the other life-sustaining critical infrastructures. Now, my new book, EMP Manhattan Project, Organizing Survival Against an Electromagnetic Pulse Catastrophe, EMP Manhattan Project, Organizing Survival Against an Electromagnetic Pulse Catastrophe. This book is available on Amazon.com. This book advocates another Manhattan Project, an EMP Manhattan Project, to protect the U.S. electric grid and other life-sustaining critical infrastructures. Why does the EMP threat warrant another Manhattan Project? Appended to my book are some of the most recent unclassified reports of the Congressional EMP Commission that provides the most definitive assessment of the EMP threat and solutions for purposes of public policy. I would add that the Congressional EMP Commission was comprised of the foremost scientific and strategic experts in the free world on EMP. The best and the brightest worked on that commission, and that's why its work is definitive. The EMP Commission chairman, Dr. William Graham, warns an EMP event causing a nationwide blackout lasting 1 year could kill up to 90% of the American people. Let me repeat that. An EMP event causing a nationwide blackout lasting 1 year could kill up to 90% of the American people. This is a direct warning from the Congressional EMP Commission. The chairman that I mentioned, Dr. William Graham, if you had to point to one person who is our Albert Einstein of EMP, it would be him. You know, Dr. Graham was on the original defense science team that discovered the EMP phenomena during the 1962 Starfish Prime high-altitude nuclear test. No one expected that test to knock out some lights in Hawaii, you know, about 1,000 kilometers away from where the test occurred. And as a young defense scientist, he was sent to the Hawaiian Islands to figure out what happened. So Dr. Graham was there, on the scientific team that discovered the EMP phenomena. I was in elementary school when that happened. So this is the quality of mind the Albert Einstein of EMP, and many other scientists of equal competence were on the EMP Commission warning us that up to 90% of our population could be killed as a result of a nationwide blackout resulting from an EMP.
An EMP pulse is a very dangerous threat, and it's a realistic threat. It's something that would basically, if you're not nuclear hardened, it will basically shut down any digital computer that is operating in the range of the EMP. So if you set off an EMP, a high altitude burst EMP, basically every light in this hotel is going to go off, every computer is going to go off, every cell phone is going to go off, and every automobile in the parking lot will no longer work. That's what an EMP does. Our nation as a whole has not really looked at EMP. We've not looked at the critical infrastructure that could be damaged by EMP.
An EMP catastrophe could, figuratively and literally, turn out the lights across entire nations, not just the United States, but across the entire world if we're talking about something like the 1859 Carrington event, and be the advent of a new Dark Ages. And I would also add that the Carrington event, while it happened in 1859, more than 100 years ago, it's inevitable. It will happen for sure again someday. That's the judgment of the Congressional EMP Commission and of every major commission and government study that has looked at this problem. Indeed, on July 23, 2012, it almost did happen. We were missed by just 3 days. A coronal mass ejection that could have caused another Carrington event crossed the path of the Earth on that date, on July 23rd of 2012. Missed us by just 3 days. NASA estimates that had it happened, it would have caused the very catastrophe we were talking about here and blacked out lights all across the world, shut down electric grids all across the world, shut down life-sustaining critical infrastructures that provide food and water to our 7 billion people on this planet all across the world, and put billions of lives at risk. So it almost already happened. NASA estimates that the likelihood of recurrence of a Carrington-class geomagnetic superstorm is 12% per decade. That virtually guarantees that within our lifetimes, or at the latest, that of our grandchildren, we will experience this. And we are not prepared for it. Unfortunately, only the Russians and Chinese are prepared for it because they hardened their electric grids and their life-sustaining critical infrastructures during the Cold War, preparing to win nuclear World War III. So the United States needs an EMP Manhattan Project, if only to catch up with the Russians and Chinese and to protect our population from the inevitable Carrington event that will happen in the future. Worth quoting at length is the Congressional EMP Commission's 2017 executive summary assessing the threat from electromagnetic pulse. Now I quote, and this is a lengthy quote, worth quoting at length, "The United States and modern civilization more generally faces a present and continuing existential threat from naturally occurring and man-made electromagnetic pulse assault and related attacks on military and critical national infrastructures. A nationwide blackout of the electric power grid and grid-dependent critical infrastructures, including communications, transportation, sanitation, food and water supply, could plausibly last a year or longer. A long-term outage owing to EMP could disable most critical supply chains, leaving the U.S. population living in conditions similar to centuries past, prior to the advent of electric power. In the 1800s, the United States population was less than 60 million people. Less than 60 million people. We have 330 million people today. And those people had many skills and assets necessary for survival without today's infrastructure. An extended blackout today could result in the death of a large fraction of the American people through the effects of societal collapse, disease, and starvation. While national planning and preparation for such events could help mitigate the damage, few such actions are currently underway or even being contemplated," end quote. That's from the Congressional EMP Commission. So We're not prepared, and we're not even getting prepared. The bureaucracy isn't even thinking about getting prepared. The EMP Commission recommends protecting the national electric grid and other critical infrastructures utilizing an all-hazard strategy, thus protecting against the worst threat, which is nuclear EMP attack. Nuclear EMP attack is the worst threat. If you're protected against that, you can also mitigate all lesser threats, including natural EMP from solar superstorms, non-nuclear EMP weapons like radio frequency weapons. You know, there are these non-nuclear EMP weapons. They can even be purchased without a license, from electronic magazines. They're not intended to be used as weapons. They're diagnostic tools, but we've arrived at a place technologically where if someone buys, for example, there's an item called the EMP suitcase, and it looks just like a suitcase and can be operated by a single individual with little or no training. And if you put something like that in the trunk of your car and you drove to transformer substations, we've arrived at a place where a single individual, a madman, a terrorist, a criminal, could topple the technological pillars of civilization for a major metropolitan area all by himself. If you're protected against nuclear EMP, you're protected against that. You're protected against cyber attacks that we see Russia using against Ukraine all the time, that terrorists may have used against Turkey to black out Turkey, attacks that have been used against Pakistan. Cyber attacks are made against the United States with great regularity. They haven't blacked out our electric grid yet, but if we protected against nuclear EMP attack, it would mitigate those threats too. Physical sabotage is another threat. The bad guys could use rocket-propelled grenade launchers or high-powered rifles to shoot at transformers, you know, like they did in California back in 2013 at the Metcalf Transformer Substation outside of San Jose.
Now, just how vulnerable is the United States electrical power grid? It's a question getting new attention after the Wall Street Journal published a detailed account of an organized sniper attack on an electrical substation near San Jose, California last April. Shortly before 1 a.m., someone cut telephone cables near the substation. About a half hour later, multiple gunmen quickly fired dozens of shots at 17 transformers inside the perimeter of the station. 15 minutes later, transformers began to fail. But officials managed to avoid serious disruptions by rerouting power. The shooters escaped before police arrived, and they have not been caught. The chairman of the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission at the time of the attack, John Wellinghoff, has described it as the most serious domestic terror attack on the grid.
They definitely had to study this station. They, in fact, it appears, set up targeting positions prior to them arriving at the station, so they had somebody come out ahead of time and determine exactly where to set up and shoot. They also had to determine where the 911 cable was, the fiber optic cable that they cut prior to going in the station to reduce the number of 911 calls. So they had a number of specific pieces of information they pieced together. They also knew exactly where to target on this station. They, in fact, targeted the cooling fins on these high-voltage transformers rather than hitting the transformers or their glass bushings. So they knew that in targeting those cooling fins, they could start the oil to leak out of the fins, cause those transformers to have to shut off, but still have plenty of time to get away as they did.
Well, how worried should all of us be about the vulnerability of this nation's electrical grid, power grid?
I think we should be extremely worried because, in fact, there are a limited number of high-voltage transformer substation nodes within the country, and a coordinated attack, physical attack on those nodes could do us a great deal of damage, including causing massive blackouts across the country. And those nodes are currently not being protected in any way other than, as I say, primarily a chain link fence. There's no guards 24/7. There's no obscuring of the targets with inside. And there's also very little protection around those targets.
The Navy SEALs estimated that that was probably an act of sabotage by a foreign government that was just training for a larger attack. And had they gone all the way, they could have put perhaps the whole Western coast of the United States in the blackout. If we protect against nuclear EMP attack, we're protected against that. And it would also mitigate severe weather like hurricanes. The challenge of protecting the nation's critical infrastructures from EMP is, from a scientific, technological, and financial perspective, modest compared to the original Manhattan Project. Scientifically, the original Manhattan Project began merely with a physics theory about atomic weapons, not knowing whether they would be possible or practical to build, given the technology of the 1940s. In contrast, EMP is a proven scientific phenomenon, demonstrated and well understood. Technologically, the original Manhattan Project had to invent not only the atomic bomb, but a wide array of new machines, new chemical and new metallurgical industries, new electronics, and new instruments to manufacture and refine weapons-grade uranium and plutonium. Before the Manhattan Project to build the atomic bomb, no one knew how to do any of those things. We didn't even know if it was possible to do it. It existed all in theory, but we translated theory in just 3 years into industrial and scientific facts that enabled us to build those atomic bombs. Now, in contrast to the Manhattan Project to build the atomic bombs, technologies for EMP protection already exist and have been used to protect military systems for over half a century. Surge arrestors, for example, that are capable of stopping EMP already exist. Blocking devices are well understood. Faraday cages have been around since the 19th century. Air Force One is a big flying Faraday cage. And we use these military technologies to protect some of our military systems, our most critical ones that are associated mostly with our nuclear forces. And so we've got defense contractors, and the Department of Defense have known for decades about how to protect against EMP. But unlike the Russians and Chinese, we never applied those technologies to the civilian power grid or to our other civilian critical infrastructures, like communications and transportation, the food infrastructure, the water infrastructure, the way our adversaries have. So we know how to protect already our civilian critical infrastructures with these existing technologies. And there's another form of EMP, by the way, made by nature, called lightning. There's a nuclear equivalent to that called E2 EMP. Almost everything is already protected against lightning in our society, including civilian items. Your personal computer has got a surge arrestor on it protected against lightning. So we've already demonstrated as a society that if we have the political will, you know, we can protect against these forms of super lightning that are generated by the sun and by nuclear weapons. Financially, the original Manhattan Project cost about $20 billion in today's dollars, an enormous expense for the U.S. government in the midst of fighting World War II. In contrast, the Congressional EMP Commission estimates protecting the national electric grid would cost a few billion dollars, a relatively trivial expense. And it wouldn't be taxpayer dollars either. It could be paid for by allowing the relevant industries to raise rates. And if this is amortized over time, it was estimated by the U.S. Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, you know, that it would cost the average consumer less than 50 cents a year to protect the electric grid from EMP. So why is an EMP Manhattan Project necessary? The bureaucratic politics of EMP protection are so formidable, despite the best bipartisan efforts of Congress, that no real progress has been achieved implementing the EMP Commission's recommendations made in 2008, a decade ago. Despite a decade of educational and legislative effort, American civilization remains unprotected from EMP extinction. Let me repeat that. Despite a decade of educational and legislative effort, American civilization remains unprotected from EMP extinction. And the U.S. government of the 21st century is not the same highly competent U.S. government of the Great Generation that successfully ran the Manhattan Project to invent the atomic bomb, the great generation that won World War II, the great generation that built the national highway system, and the great generation that sent man to the moon. Today's U.S. government, I should say, the recent Obama administration U.S. government at least, is not competent to make a website for Obamacare. The U.S. government under President Obama spent $500 million to train a free Syrian army of merely 50 men who mostly defected to Al-Qaeda. Today's U.S. government, even today, even under our President Trump, relies on Russia to send U.S. astronauts into orbit and is generally so corrupt, incompetent, and obstructionist that the U.S. government seems no longer capable of carrying out great enterprises as it did in the past. President Trump, this is messages for you. An EMP Manhattan Project is necessary because the bureaucratic politics of EMP protection is even more formidable than the scientific, technological, and financial obstacles that faced the original Manhattan Project's invention of the atomic bomb. And President Trump, I have another message for you. Thank you, sir. Thank you. On March 26, 2019, our President Trump signed an executive order on EMP that in effect launches an EMP Manhattan Project to protect our country from the existential threat that could destroy 90% of the American people in 1 year from starvation, disease, and societal collapse. President Trump is the first president to have the courage to confront the EMP monster and has launched this Manhattan Project. And he's not trusting the government bureaucracy either. Under his EMP executive order, the project is to be run out of the White House, in effect, just like the Manhattan Project. It also provides a homework assignment to the Department of Homeland Security, the Department of Energy, the Department of Defense, U.S. Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, requiring them, putting them on a short lease to provide certain deliverables, certain technological and policy deliverables to the White House by the next March 26, 2020, which will position the White House and the President to protect the electric grid and all the other life-sustaining critical infrastructures in a hurry if the bureaucracy does its job. But we're not out of the woods yet, my friends. Just like the deep state opposes President Trump on everything, including building the border wall, they are already working behind the scenes to try to stop President Trump's EMP executive order from being successful. They're putting out junk science studies that try to claim the EMP threat isn't real. There's a lot of press criticism of the president for his executive order. There are bureaucrats who plan to slow roll the executive order so they'll do as little as possible. So this next year is going to be critical to see whether President Trump's EMP Manhattan Project succeeds in its first stage. I, for one, am going to do everything I can to help, including by informing you. And I hope you'll do everything you can to help, too, by telling your congressmen and your senators to get behind the president, to do everything they can to support his EMP executive order. One thing they can do right away, and I would encourage you all to call your senators and your congressmen, is to tell them to join the Congressional EMP Caucus. The Congressional EMP Caucus, which is headed up by Representative Doug Lamborn. That's the least they can do. At least it will inform them of the progress that's being made. And maybe if the members of the Senate and the House put their heads together, they can figure out ways to help the president protect the American people from this EMP threat that is perhaps the greatest threat that our electronic civilization faces, and make America safe for us, for our children, and for our grandchildren. Thank you again for tuning in and for listening to this edition of the Pry Report.